Just about, you know, they've been following him all this while. They've been learning to listen to him. They've been learning to believe him. They've been learning to respond to small, small things he tells them, that to others look unspiritual and meaningless. Because sometimes, because of our religious culture, we expect God to tell us things that have to do with, you know, go there, go and preach to this person, go and lay hands on this person. But sometimes, all about just the fact that I don't need to sit on this chair for today, don't go out, and the person sat on that chair the whole day. That, for God, is what it's all about. Because what God is actually out to prove to the powers and principalities that there's a people, anything I tell them to do, you understand, they will do it. That is His glory. Because they say, look, these people, they obey me. They are controlled by the appetite and this environment. Also, they are controlled by me. And they say, okay, let us see. So sometimes, our faith in the obedience is not even the fact that you understand what God says you should do, but the fact that you just responded to it. And as you do that, those things, some of them may not, like I keep saying, they're not religious. They're not even church anything. They can be simple things, but the point is that God says do this, and the person, you know, obeys. In that, God is glorified. So hearing are the servants. Hearing are the people who are learning on their regular, because what God will use to teach in relationship with Him may not be in church. Are you getting my point? We have learned to associate God with church, you know, fellowship, programs, you know, so people expect God to move when we are, you understand, in certain environments. But who says, I am the God of the whole earth? I move anywhere. We begin to disconnect God from all that and know that in any circumstance, in any environment, in any place, God can move. And I expect Him to move. I'm not expecting Him to move only because I gathered here the other time, today, at church. Well, as it happens, we are still the only people here. But church has started, kind of. Praise the name of the Lord. Maybe that's why God brought us from Nigeria here. Who knows? You understand? The most important thing in all of these things is that we connect with Him, whatever He says to do, you know, we keep doing it. And have to be like this. So, brethren, I believe that all of us must learn how to draw water. Praise the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I must learn how to get to God and come and say, oh, Lord, I've taught you today. I'm refreshed. And I'm satisfied. That's it. And the next day, I touch you again. You speak to me, and I hear you, and I do what you say I should do. That's spirituality. It's not necessarily that I'm in a crusade ground and I'm preaching and 100 souls are giving their lives to Christ. That's also very good. But the point is that I'm learning to draw water. And as I keep drawing this water, I become a drawer of water. If I'm not able to draw water, I will never have water turned into wine. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, so it becomes so critical to me that I learn how to draw water. It becomes critical because Rachel was also at the well. You keep wondering why, when there is time to fetch a bride, the man will find himself at the well. He says, when the daughters of the city come to draw water, let it be that the one whom you have chosen here. Rachel came to the, Jacob was at the well. He was thirsty. And that's where he met her. You know, so at the end of the situation, brethren, I found out that the servants are critical. Because where the ability to meet the needs of life begin to come. People wonder, Sister Billy, do you understand the point? You know, how come? Where did this wine come from? They don't know, but you know. Praise the name of the Lord. Because you knew when He said, fill the water pot with water. With water. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I believe part of the burden, you know, God has given me for this meeting has to do with some of the obstacles that stop us filling this water pot with water. There are actually barriers. And those things are actually working inside of us to fight, come against the knowledge of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. They know that the moment these things get into us, their rule and their control over us is broken. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So there are things, there are barriers, there are, you know, walls, fortifications thrown up to stop the word of God from coming in. Praise the name of the Lord. And I pray that the Lord would help us. Do you know how to draw water? Do I know how to sit down in the presence of God 1 hour, 30 minutes, 2 hours, whatever it is, and get water?
I'm not just saying I should have my quiet time. Praise the name of the Lord. But I'm saying that quiet time becomes meaningful. I should take something out of it that will carry me through the day. Do you understand that? When I have challenges, I'm not empty. Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord says, I will not leave you comfortless. There is somebody that walks alongside of us. Praise the name of the Lord. That walks alongside, so that in a situation, I know that I'm not really alone. The water I drew this morning ministered to, you know, my inward man needs refreshing, to be strong. Praise the name of the Lord. To meet the challenge of the day, I need to just do I eat food in natural. Praise the name of the Lord. We eat food, we have energy. That body becomes very alive and vibrant. The same way, when the inward man eats, he becomes strong. And not just strong, he becomes dominant. Do you understand? If I fast and weaken this part, this other man becomes dominant. He takes the lead in decision making. Do you understand? Naturally, the natural man becomes at the forefront. But you see, when the other man is fed, he becomes dominant. The consciousness that dominates you becomes the consciousness that comes from the, you understand, the inward man. And that is the life of the Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. So I really pray, brethren, that we can get, you know, where God wants us to be at this time. When it seems that nothing is happening, because a time comes when the church activity as we know it is going to crumble. A lot of scandals are going to arise. A lot of the men that people have put so much confidence in are going to be, you know, exposed. Now, the man who does not know will think that the church is collapsing because they've been looking at the wrong church all the time. What you think is the church is not. Because the body that is not the body that will be. The outer shell must of necessity give way and do what now? Die. If he does not die, the reality will not come. So look at God. God says, I will destroy this temple. Do you understand the point? Why would he, when the temple was a source of admiration, when the temple was a source of pride to Israel, when the temple was a source, this was where they gathered, this was where everything took place. But you and I know today that if that temple did not crumble, do you understand? The gospel would have been very, you understand, limited. Even the Jews. So the temple had to go. So when these outward aspects of Christianity begins to crumble, it will only be a people who have known how to connect to God. Not through their jigo or their generalized pretenders or their bishop and all that, but the people who have learned to go to the well and do what now? And draw water. Many Christians today cannot sustain their Christianity apart from this man of God, that man of God, this church, that church. No. Because they don't know how to go to the well and draw water. You can draw water in the desert. Do you understand the point? In other words, it's not your environment outwardly that determines your fellowship with what now? With God. Because God said that streams will flow where now? In the desert. And that rivers will flow in the dry places. So in circumstances where a person is even alone, I don't know if you understand the point now. Alone, where say, oh, there's no fellowship there, there's nobody there, there's no such thing. If a person knows how to go to where now? To the well. Praise the name of the Lord and draw water. So may the Lord help us. Because it's a part of our growing in God that a person knows how to dig. When Israel stayed through the wilderness, you know that they were eating manna that was falling down from heaven. Did you notice that? It was when they stepped into the land of promise that they began to plant. Do you understand the point? Something changed about their Christianity. Something changed about their relationship with God. And that's why they began to dig a well. And as they were digging, they were doing what now? They were singing to the world. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh. Something, brethren, must change about our fellowship with God. It is the only thing that will make us prepare and ready for these challenges. Praise the name of the Lord. And I think that is one solution to the canker worm. Because the canker worm eats up our, you understand, our relationship with God. But if there's a well of living water springing up, flowing, those cankers will not have the power and the ability to sustain their life in the midst of a living environment. There must be living water. Praise the name of the Lord. And I pray that God will help us. Amen.
Amen. Say something about it, because in fact the scripture that came that I wanted to read was from from Mark chapter 7. It has to do with the mindset. Mark 7 verse 1 to 23. It says, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with the fire, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. So that's the king. And he addresses it. He said, when they come from a market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels and tables. Because today's Christianity is what you are discussing, where, you know, when people come together, everybody prays loud, shout. So it's more like an outward, more of an outward worship, and less of that personal contact, you know. And verse 5, it says, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, where had Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honored me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So the tradition of the elders, what is emphasized in church and what people have in their mind as church is form and religion, form and mechanics, washing hands, washing plate, you come together, you sing, clap hands, and you know. But the reality of, you know, relationship with God has to do with a touching of the heart, you know, God's heart touching, you know, the heart of the individual, or in other words, a relationship that is from the inward. Verse 7, howbeit in vain did they worship me, teaching from, verse 8, for laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of cups, or pots, cups, and many other such things to do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is covered, that is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be prompted by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him to no more do aught of his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions which you have delivered, and many such things to do. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defy him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defy the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do not ye perceive that whatsoever thing from without entering into the man, it cannot defy him, because it entered not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meat. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defies the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. I was looking at it this afternoon, and for me, it defines the tradition of the elders. That is the wrong emphasis of church today. I've gone to a few campuses, and it's amazing the departure from what it used to be when we were there. And not just on the campus, even when you enter most congregations, the emphasis is on form, on mechanics, on the outward, like you are saying, the inability to connect to God. Now, Jesus was making an emphasis, part of what Bebe was talking about, and in the ministry of the world that we normally hear, the contemporary ministry, preaching that somebody brings, Jesus made a difference between the real man and the the conventional man. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the law, and they were all concerned about the outward man, the form, the ministry, washing of hands, washing of paws, and all that. But Jesus was saying, look, this is not where the problem is. The things that define the man, if you wash the pot, wash the plate, like you see the Muslims, they wash their hands, they do all those things. That's not where the issue is. The issue is regarding a man, a reality that is within us. Like all of us today, we've ate, I don't know how many times what you have eaten, but you see, the physical food ministers to the physical man. But the energy and the ministry to the spiritual man, to the inward man, another scripture calls it the hidden man of the heart, is a different level of ministry. And Jesus was saying that, look, that is the thing. That these people, they come to me with their lips, but their hearts are far. Their hearts are not ministered to. I think for me that is a crisis. That when Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? It's like, for me, God asked me, say, who do you say that you are? What is your need? Who are you? Today, have I touched God? I may be in this room and not touch God, because there's a real man within. There's the inward man, the soul, and my spirit. Is the living reality that must touch God, that must have a relationship with God. And if you look at the ministry of Jesus, he spoke to that. He, in everything he said, he always went out of his way to lay that emphasis. And I see that you know, that in our everyday activity, we do not make that as you know, we don't, we are not aware of that reality, that there is an inward man, and that inward man is that reality in me that must touch God, that must relate to God. You know, and Jesus said, the things that define the man are not coming from outside. You know, so the emphasis of my relationship with God should not be on the outward. You know, my relationship with God must begin and must center on the reality of what is within me. And a very practical example of that is what you see in the tabernacle. You know, particularly in the tabernacle, the place of baptism is a very, very, very good example of that. Now, there's a physical baptism in water, you know, but you see, the physical baptism in water is a prophecy that speaks to the need to baptize the inward man. All right, now the natural man is washed with water, you know, is put inside water and brought out of water, a sign of that, you know, death, you know, burial and resurrection. All right. Now, the inward man himself also needs that experience of death, burial, and a coming to a newness of life. Okay. Now, you look at the outward man, the physical man you are looking at. You know, and we see that in 1 Corinthians 2, you know, where he carries forward that thought of Jesus. Now, for a long time, I was not aware, but suddenly, as I look at the scripture, I'm saying, why didn't I see this before? What is it? That in the spirit, nobody operates in the spirit without hearing. Nobody operates in the spirit without seeing. Nobody operates in the spirit without. So all the realities that I deal with naturally, you know, seeing. I need to see. I see you now. But you see that there's a reality in the spirit where I can see God. There's a reality in the spirit where I can hear God. And you know, like if you were talking about somebody, you can tell somebody to go and talk to God. How do you relate to God when you cannot see God? When you cannot hear God? The Bible says, blessed are the pure in your heart. Because they can see God. You know, so when a man is able to relate to God from the inward, then there's an engagement, there's an excitement, you know. So God talks to you, you know. Okay, well, for instance, Samuel, you know, God spoke to him. He didn't know the voice of God, yeah, but God engaged him. He spoke to him again, and with time, God, he began to come into that relationship where God was talking to him. He was talking to God. And so the tradition of the elders that we have received is that God cannot relate to us. You know, it's all a form. I just come into a place, sing some songs, wave hands, rejoice, and I go away. You know, it's talking that I'm not able to touch that stream, that flow of life. There is a flow of life and energy between the spirit and my soul. You know, there is a flow of life between the spirit of God, my spirit, and my soul. And that is the reality that I need to touch. You know, like I said, we're talking about it. The right time we had, Briasik was saying that the church has believed a lie. What's the lie that we believed? That we cannot relate to God. I cannot hear God. I cannot see God. I cannot touch God. It is all, it's a tradition of the elders. That is something that has sold. So, and it's everywhere. So people come to, I come to God with a predetermined mindset that this God is just, you know, I can't relate to God. You know, it's just, God is so far away from me. You know, so there is no excitement in my relationship with God. You know, like even what we call quiet time is a routine. Let me just go and do it because, well, you know, it's part of what I need to do. But I'm not coming to it from an excitement that I'm going to hear the voice of God today. I'm going to see God. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to touch Him. You know, I'm going to, you know, so that living reality, you know, that ought to be there. And Jesus said to them, look, these people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. You know, now, what is the problem with the heart? The problem of the heart is that there is, you know, it says, look, your sin is a barrier. That is, you know, there is something that has gone wrong within the heart. The truth of the matter is that with my heart, I hear God. Now, if sin is there, if darkness is there, then there's a blurring, you know. So either God is speaking, and I'm like, we're talking about this army worm thing. It all comes down to God is saying about perception. He says, "Do you not perceive with your heart?" You know, something is happening, but I am not aware, and it boils down to something. Now, look at. When they consecrated the priest, one of the major things they did was that they took the oil, they put it on the right ear. And I asked myself, I said, why must it be on the ear? They put it on the right ear, put it on the right thumb, put it on the right toe. And as I began to go, to God said, well, the first thing, the first prerequisite for being able to relate with God is that you must hear God. It deals with the senses. And brethren, if our senses are dulled, whether we like it or not, we are going to fall into a routine, a motion. We do things that we normally do, but not in the sense that there is a vitality to it, you know. But 1 Corinthians 2 was talking about this same this reality. He said, look, the eyes have not seen, but ears have not heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man. What God, you know. But it doesn't stop there. They say, but those things are revealed to us by the Spirit. You understand? So, yes, there is a defilement. You know, the problem is in my soul. You know. The problem is in my heart. But God circumcises the heart. You know? And that is the whole story. Like Sister Billy was reading that scripture. He says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not. You see? You know, it sounds like Hebrews to me, my favorite Hebrews. What does Hebrews say? He says, I will put my law where? In the inward part. The heart can be healed. You know, the tradition that the heart is so evil, yes, the heart is so evil, but God said, I will put my law where? In the inward part. Because He can heal the heart. He can, God can circumcise the heart. And, you know, and what's the thing about the heart? If you want to circumcise, what do you use? You use sharp knives. Okay? Now, what is the sharp knife? The sharp knife is what? It's the word of God. It's the word. You know? So God gives you a word. Because that word is able to go deep down. In fact, he said that the word of God is a discerner of the word, thought, and the intent. Okay? So God descends, the word of God descends your heart. So as the word comes, it's able to minister to that heart and bring a circumcision, a cutting away. You know, it takes away the darkness, takes away the foolishness. Because the truth of the matter is that with my physical eyes, I only have as much as I can have. It's just two front eyes. I can't see at the back. But in the spirit, it's different. In the spirit, the Bible told us that those living creatures, that they were what? They are full of eyes, in and out, at the front or at the back. In other words, we really do not have an excuse for not being able to perceive the darkness as it's coming. You know, I do not really have an excuse not to be able to. If I said that a wise man sees the evil and is able to hide. So my soul is operating at a low frequency of existence because I have not done something. I have not made an investment, you know, to circumcise my heart, to open the eyes of my understanding. And Paul was saying that the eyes of understanding might be enlightened. Brethren, the reality is that we must break out of the mold of this rule, this doctrine, this tradition of the church. And what is the tradition of the church? That you cannot hear God. That is not true. You know, maybe we'll probably address, look at some of that tomorrow. In fact, if there's anything, God has created me and you with a perfect ability to hear Him. Because everything in heaven, I mean, have you thought about it? God is always speaking. Why would God be speaking if there's no ability to hear in heaven? In fact, in heaven, there are always voices and thunderings. You know what? Because there is a provision that God has made for those who are in the heavens to hear Him. You understand? So it is very bad. God expects me to hear Him. So, like, we're looking at this test situation where somebody is required to relate to God, and the truth is that a man that is hearing God and seeing, if God engages your five senses, you can never have any dull moment because you are hearing Him. You are talking back to God. You know, He's showing you things. You know, and there's a direction, there's a flow. You cannot. I mean, look at the book of Revelation. There could never have been any dull moment with John, because it says, "And behold, I saw. And behold, I heard the trumpet. And behold." So it was. He was either seeing, or he was hearing, or he was eating, or he was seeing something. There was such an engagement in the spirit. And it's part of the lie that I've been told that, you know, when I want to reach out into the realm of the spirit, that it is something that is done. What can be further from the truth? In fact, the Bible calls it a land of milk and honey. Because there is such a reality of life in God. You know, in fact, Paul was saying that the eyes of understanding might be, that we might know what is what the hope of our inheritance, the riches of it, of our inheritance in Christ. You know, so I believe that there is a reality of the burden that Jesus was bringing that needs to come to us. Jesus made the difference between the outward man and the inward, the physical, natural man, the physical, natural worship. You know, and the Pharisees were masters of it. They made the law. You know, in fact, this morning, I think Brother was saying that they made the law. They were able to count the, you know, what is it, that the law of the Sabbath, everything has been all, you know, fashioned out. But in doing that, they forgot about the reality that God was not really interested in the law. He was more interested in the heart. You know, a man being able to touch God, you know, relate to God, you know, hear the voice of God, you know, speak to God. You know, it says that, look, I will walk with you and talk with you, and you will be my people, and I will be. It's a relationship. You know, how can I relate to someone I cannot see? So in the church, like, well, I can't see God, but that's not true. The Bible says you can see God. If my heart is perfect, I can see God. If my heart is true, I can hear God speak. He said, "My sheep does what? Hear my voice." The sheep, we are his sheep. We should be hearing clearly. And you know, the more you hear, most of the time. In fact, where was that? It was in Togo. Brother Bot was sharing with us. Sometimes, God speaks to you, just a little thought. Most of the time, we don't follow it up. We don't look at it. You know, but if you make a practice that when you get a thought, there's something, a nudging that comes, you give attention to it, you will see that with time, you begin to develop that relationship of hear just a little whisper. Just, and if you know when the Spirit of God speaks, most of the time it's just something very, very, it's just a very tender, quiet voice. You know, Elijah was looking for the big deal, the thunder, the earthquake, you know, and God was not in any of that. It was in a still, small voice. And if we learn to listen, we will see that God has always been speaking to us. And if you look at it, the times you make a mistake, usually when you are not sensitive to that quiet, still, small direction that comes from God, you know. And I'm learning to give heed to that little voice, that, you know. And look at Moses, he heard something, he gave attention to it, see where he led him to, you know. So there is a tradition, there is something that has been given to us, you know, and it's all meant to deceive us into a mold, into a form of outward worship. The true worship, say, they that worship God will worship God in spirit and in truth. That heart connection, that heart response, you know, of being able to, you know, touch life and respond to the life of God, you know. Maybe tomorrow we will talk a little bit more on it, because I believe that the message of the liver is critical, you know. The message of the liver is very important, because I believe that there is something that we are missing out. We are missing out the experience of the holy place, the experience of walking in the Spirit, life in the Spirit, the life of the inward man, the life of, you know, it's Christ in you, is the hope of glory, you know. The Christ, the seed of Christ that come into us, that is sown, must have an expression, must have a reality. You know, and for me, that is where there is a crisis right now. You know, where a people must, by however it's going to be, you know, by, there's a message, brother boy, say by hook or crook. You know, however it is, we must break into the Spirit. We must come into that place where, you know, if you look at last time, it shows a connection. There is a connection between the heavens and the earth. You know, you can see the, you know, there is a connection. You know, so it should encourage us, brethren, to press on into that place where we can have that relationship. Praise God.
As I was sharing, the